All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude?
Yes, sir.
I want to speak for yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Coming up, we'll tell you if Le'Veon Bell is cracking under the pressure. And 1 hour from now, we'll sit down with the crazy coach from Last Chance U, Jason Brown. All right, but we'll start today with Tom Brady. A day before quarterback Tom Brady reports to his 20th NFL training camp, he and the New England Patriots have not worked out a contract extension. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported that no new deal is on the horizon for Brady, and Pelissero noted this will be the first time in Brady's illustrious career that he's poised to go into a season in a contract year. All of this leads me to believe this is Brady's final NFL season. And I'll believe that even if Brady and the Patriots announce an extension between now and Christmas. The 42-year-old Brady has previously stated he wants to play until age 45. I wanted a bacon double cheeseburger for breakfast this morning. I thought better of it and settled for a green smoothie instead.
My dog.
My point is, people can and do change their mind. 6 weeks ago, when Brady reported for a Patriots minicamp, he posted on Instagram that he was going to treat his first day like it was his last day, and his last day like it was his first.
Biggie.
It was a clue into his thinking. He's thinking about the end. Once you do that, you're at the end. Two things will push Brady into retirement after this season. Number one, it's his kids. The rewards of football do not compare to the rewards of parenthood. Jumping off that cliff in Costa Rica with his 6-year-old daughter is a far better feeling than anything Brady will do this football season. When you're at Brady's level of financial success and security, life becomes about creating memories. You could fill 5 books with the memories Brady and Belichick have created. Tom is just starting those books with his kids. They're reaching the age where they'll remember these years. The second reason Brady's going to retire is because I think he'd rather stick his football landing than tarnish his legacy in any way with a poor season. That's not me predicting Brady's play is going to greatly deteriorate this season. But if he keeps rolling out there another 2 or 3 years, his play is going to slip. Why risk it? Losing is no fun. Being a reason your team is losing is even worse. There's little upside in Brady playing past year 20, and there is some risk. You can get injured at 42 or 43 years old, and the recovery process is longer and far more complicated than a guy who gets hurt at 25. For a couple of years, I wrongly predicted Brady's supermodel wife, Gisele Bundchen, would be the reason he quit playing. Brady's going to quit because it's the right thing to do. After 20 glorious seasons, at some point, you have to walk away from the craps table and accept the dice are going to turn cold. I'm terrible at that. Brady's smarter than me. At least I hope so. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth and Bucky Brooks. Welcome back, gentlemen. Marcellus, start with you. Would Tom Brady be making a mistake playing beyond this season?
Oh, man. You talk about Tom Brady. Tom, terrific. This legacy that we have there at the bottom line saying unblemished, and we know that's not true, right?
I think it's unblemished.
One.
His legacy's unblemished.
No one's ever touched a blade of grass without it taking a chunk of your grass. And I ain't mean grass at the end. I meant your... No one's ever walked off that field perfect. No one. I mean, I ain't gonna go into the gates. I'm not gonna go into how...
Gates don't matter.
The gates count. I'm not gonna go into, you know, the scoring differential in the Super Bowls. The guys used to call them field goal because... And I'm not even...
Call me field goal.
I love it. Look, it's better than the alternative. But let's also talk about what's really happening here. There's two columns that you have to look at Tom Brady right now, why he may walk into this season without a contract and maybe walk off into the sunset after this season. One is the equity that he has on the field as a player, which nearly is perfect. You talk about the story, the narrative of who he is. It's hard to poke holes at that. But if you've ever been through a contract negotiation, they find those holes. And here we go. Tom Brady, in terms of equity with this franchise, in terms of future profits, in terms of investing into a brighter future with you, is where he is right now. And they are tearing him apart. Here's a few line items that you can see. Third down, Tom Brady is now below league average in third down situations. Tom Brady, who's always been terrific in the short passing game, has shortened it to the tune of he's in the mid-20s in terms of air completions. If you really start digging into the numbers, there is a story, deeper analytics, next-gen stats, coaching stats that are saying Belichick and his genius is now covering up for Tom Brady. And if you notice, shorter passes, screen game, strong run game is now priority. And if you start to say, what do we do with Tom Brady with this great story and accomplishment versus this future that's not as bright, i.e. Brett Favre when he fell off the cliff at 40, Peyton Manning when he finally fell off the cliff, 2015, the Patriots are stuck. They don't know what to do with Tom Brady.
Well, I know you're a Clipper fan, so I'm going to put this in basketball analogy. I'm going to say Tom Brady is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Showtime Laker.
Mm.
Start the game, get him off, finish the game. The rest of the game, you let the young fellas do everything else. What we've seen from the Patriots have changed their style the last year. Start running the football. We saw the commitment with the running game and all the running backs that they brought onto the field. Their defense started to play at a lights-out level. All the Patriots are hoping for with Tom Brady is that in the fourth quarter, if the game is close, he can get them to the winner's circle. They don't need to lean on him like they needed to in the past. And so when we think about this potentially being his last year, I think it could be his last year. And I think they're waiting to see which Tom Brady runs out the tunnel and how much they have to make up for the player that no longer is the one that we say is the best at the position.
Barring significant injury, Brady will play as long as he wants to play. Brady throws the ball right now at 41 going into 42 better than he threw it at 28. I mean,
it's not true.
No, it is 100% true. My eyes do not lie. Brady can flat throw the ball. Now, he doesn't push it down the field like he used to push it down the field, but nobody does anymore. You look at how people read off our defenses in the National Football League. They read side to side. They don't go one, two, three through their progressions anymore. It's one side to the other side. That's why the ball is out in 2.2 seconds on average. It is hard to sack guys. It is hard to get hit. This guy has a lifetime contract with Robert Kraft, his dad. If he wants to play another couple of years, he'll play another couple of years. And as far as analytics are concerned, 6 Super Bowl titles. That's all the analytics I need to know when it comes to Tom Brady. 6 Super Bowl titles. I think one of the things that drives this guy, obviously the chip on his shoulder, but he's doing things that honestly nobody else has ever done. He's playing at a level at this age that nobody else has ever done. And I always say the thing that drove me to play through the injuries that I played through is I always thought to myself, anybody can play when they're healthy. Man, I can play like this, and I can play damn good like this. And there is a drive when you're a competitor that I think Tom Brady looks at it like, I'm going to do some things that nobody thinks I can do, that nobody has ever done, and watch me do it.
He's already
done it. And that's
what'll drive
it. And he'll continue to do it because people like you keep doubting him.
Well, Mark, if he has a lifetime contract, how come he doesn't even have a contract passed this year? If you got lifetime, why? I don't even have one passed next year.
Listen, man, my entire life. You go to your dad, you're like, if I go to my dad and say, hey, Pops, my dad's done really well for himself, man, I need you to help me out. You know what my dad's going to do? He's going to go, let me help you out, son. I love you. You're my son, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the relationship.
And you know what?
Sign, daddy.
Yeah. No.
They're only paying him $15 million. Russell Wilson's got $35
million. The dad could reach over and say, you know what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you retire. Because, you know, at the price we would have to pay you, based off the production we might get moving forward,
right,
it doesn't make sense.
You can do a series of one-year contracts. He's making $15 million. You can manage that. And every year, the cap goes up and up and up, and this guy doesn't take more than $15 million.
But you know the problem with that equation right now, you know all contracts are investment into the future. All of your past success and accolades are on your trophy case and our trophy case, 6 rings, 6 titles. But when we're talking about dollars, that's forward thinking. Look at Tom Brady in the last 5 years. Last year, we saw him have the highest interception total, lowest touchdown rate, fewest yards per attempt and game, and the lowest passer rating in the last 5 years. Tom Brady, I love him. He's an amazing 41-year-old. He will never be 31 again. He won't throw it like he did at 28. Even if he's making smarter decisions, you have to dress it up more to have the same results.
At $15 million, you can afford it. If that's all he's taking.
If he wants to play for cheap, yeah.
But that's all he's playing for. He won a Super Bowl last year as the quarterback. The year before, he won a Super Bowl against Atlanta where he threw for 500 and some odd. I mean, come on. $15 million? Hell, there's backups that are making 11, 12.
All right, let me say this. You know this about aging in sports.
Mike Glennon was making $10 million.
The consistency.
$1 million for every inch of his neck.
When you're young, you have consistent excellence, and sometimes you can even just roll out of bed and it feels like it comes. When you're older, you have to manufacture that. And what starts to occur is it starts to come in glimpses, in flashes, but it's not consistent. You're going to point to games for Brady, but you won't see the same body of work because Father
but that's
time,
where that's
brother.
Where I like Bucky's analogy. Hey, get us off to a start in the first, win it in the fourth, let us do the work throughout the other three.
But quarters. That's what all those older quarterbacks are doing. Tom Brady's not the only one. That's what Drew Brees is doing in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That team is not driven solely by Drew Brees. They're leaning on Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and those other guys.
They take him out and use the backup quarterback because he's such a run threat. I can't.
Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think Tom Brady though has such a level of pride, and not in a bad way. He wants to be the reason they're winning, not being dragged to the winning.
Yeah.
And I really think, I don't think this will be the Patriots, because the Patriots, you're right, they'll sign some reasonable contract if he wants to continue to play. I think Tom Brady's letting off all the signs that he's, because trust me, if he wanted a contract extension now, I think he'd have it. He's the one to put out the IG post, treat your first day like it's your last and your last like it's the first. I think he's starting to figure it out and change his mind. Like, man, I'm 20 years. What a great round number. And if I go out playing at a high level rather than, because I don't care what he says. I don't care what he does, TB12. It's harder, man, at 42 years old.
Oh, absolutely.
To do what he's doing than even when he was just 37. It's so much harder. Just getting out of bed. I guarantee he's rolled out of bed a couple times and had to tiptoe like, damn, I didn't even have to used to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I don't think this necessarily applies to Tom Brady, but they used to win because of him. Now, somewhat in spite of him. Like, they will dress up other parts, they will exploit your weaknesses, and then they'll unveil Tom Brady latter moments in those clutch situations. The pieces around him, Gronk's gone, let's just be real. Edelman's older, he's like 32, and injured already. Maybe this is starting to look like, okay, guys, I hate to say rebuild, but maybe we should. So Brady, like you said, which Brady's coming out that tunnel? Is he going to be 42 for real? Or is he going to be a little younger and we can use him in spot moments? Even if you can, that's not a winning, consistent formula when other teams are loading the deck. So I just think that right now they're faced with a harsh reality. Winning the Super Bowl actually was a bad thing in terms of turning the page for this team because you don't know what to do. Like you said, he just won a Super Bowl. Why would you ever want to think about moving on? But if you look at the deep numbers, it's getting towards that time.
One thing I've always said about them as an organization that's fascinated me, one, neither he or Belichick are sated by success. They continue to grind.
Yes.
And that's special. That goes against human nature. Mm. Two, their system offensively, anyhow, is not having a system. It's attacking your weakness. They always say, right, we're going to make you play left-handed. And they do a great job with their smart players in doing that. So part of his beauty is, I don't need a system. I'm Tom Brady. I can do whatever you guys ask me to do. And there's very few quarterbacks that can truly do that.
This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself, and I got a website you have to visit, pristine.com. Pristine Auction has daily auctions ending nightly and with a dollar starting bids. Authenticity is important to Pristine Auction. They guarantee authenticity and come with authentication from only the most trusted sources. Pristine auctions are affordable. Most people don't think they can afford this stuff, but it is much more affordable than you think. A signed Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens jersey sold for under $100. A Mike Tyson autographed boxing glove sold for under $100. It's quick and free to register, free to bid, and you only pay if you win. Use registration code when joining pristine.com. That's pristine.com. And new users will receive a $5 auction credit. Again, you'll get a $5 auction credit when you register using the code SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K, to sign up for pristine.com. That's pristine.com.
Whitlock and Wiley, Mark Slareth and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Le'Veon Bell, whose first year in New York might already be going off the rails after a full season off
there were a lot of questions this summer about Le'Veon's lack of participation in the Jets' offseason program, and the running back is finally fed up with the noise.
Hey, real shit, bro. I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me about
Le'Veon. You're not focused. You only want to make music. He want to play basketball. He do everything besides playing football.
And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking, man, I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete, your mom, your dad, whoever y'all do. So if somebody work at Target, do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They trying to worry about what serial number's coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up, oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays? Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays? Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work, she don't act. She don't do nothing else taking her kids. Really, she's waking up singing.
All right. Obviously, him going at it with his social media following. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's the bad mindset, though. I think it's a window into he's concerned with the noise and he's playing for a head coach who isn't enamored with how much money they're paying him and may not have wanted him. And I think he may get frustrated if he doesn't produce numbers early on to answer these critics.
Yeah, it's amazing that. I don't think they understand that when you're doing that, that's for your followers. Those are people that actually like you. Like, imagine. That video seems like it's for people who don't like him, and it's actually going to the audience that actually follows you. Amazing. I like his mindset because I think there is a small maturity, a different Le'Veon than before. Let me explain. We all know for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, his reactions before, not so public, but private. And those private miscues used to show up publicly, the suspension and smoking the big weed and all that stuff that he's been through before. And maybe someone got to him and said, no more suppression, brother. Speak it out, live your life. Hey, you do your game in the public arena. Why not live your private life in the public arena, your private issues in the public arena? Some part of me smells that Le'Veon is doing that off of that prescription. That said, if you look at this generation, the most disturbing thing to me is that they still want to count the people that are against them more than those who are with them. And I think that Le'Veon needs to understand that beyond just responded to the smaller minority of people who actually have problems with his game. Because if you look at his game, he hits the switch, he gets on the field, and it's instant success. So he needs to stick to that.
Yeah, he needs to stick to that. I think the tough thing now is probably the toughest time ever to be an athlete because you have so many people that can get right to you. Like back in the day when we were playing, Jason, I would only run into you in the locker room. I didn't have to worry about you hitting me up or getting into my mentions.
Diamond Joe's, but go ahead.
Yeah, like
Diamond Joe's.
Diamond Joe's every now and then. But now they hear all the noise.
All of it.
And you have to have a strong constitution to be able to kind of block that out. Like we can say it's someone in the basement, but look, those words matter. And the fact that he decided to go off, it does kind of let a little peek into his soul that he does feel the pressure of, look, I sat out a year ago. Everyone is sitting there waiting and hoping on his downfall so they can say, I told you so. So he has a lot of pressure coming in there, and he's playing for a lesser team. So, yeah, I believe number 26 is feeling some of the pressure.
I think there's a couple of cool things about this. One, it shows me that he cares.
Yeah.
Like, he cares. He wants to be good. Like, he wants to go out there and prove people wrong. And I think that's a great place and a great position to be in. I know that there was a lot of noise about Adam Gase didn't really want him, and this was kind of the blow-up inside the structure of the New York Jets. But I will tell you this. He is a great fit in Adam Gase's offense. Adam Gase in Miami was in 11 personnel, 3 wides, 1 back, 1 tight end, about close to 80% of the plays. And he's a wide zone guy. That's what he structures everything off of. That's what the Denver Broncos ran back in the day, what the Atlanta Falcons ran, what Kyle Shanahan runs in San Francisco. And the thing about that is it's a perfect place for a patient runner who's going to take the handoff. He's going to read who's got force. And then you start to eat, like go hole to hole to hole where you're going to cut back. So you press the hole. If it's there, you take it. You take your 4 yards, but you go from hole to hole to hole on the cutback runs. And there is nobody better from a patient standpoint and a vision standpoint. One thing about the running back position, like the knowledge base, like you're not a quarterback. So you don't have to sit there and study all day, every day. If you've got great vision and you have great instincts, and there's no back in my mind that has better instincts or better vision than Le'Veon Bell, like, how much studying do you have to do? Like, to me, he has the opportunity to have some free time when he's done with the practice facility and done with the study in the film. Like, he's got that. I think this is a great fit for him. I think he's got the potential of having an outstanding kind of breakout type of year for him. And he's had great breakouts before. But I think the system is great for him.
I think he's got some insecurity because he has a very unique running style that worked in Pittsburgh with that offensive line, that group of coaches. Now he's coming over. I don't know. I'm no expert on Sam Darnold. I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think they have an Antonio Brown or a Juju Smith-Schuster, people that keep the safeties really honest. I think he's a little insecure and nervous, and that's why he's responding to a bunch of people he doesn't know and don't know him. That's what worries me about young people is how much they worry about people who don't know him.
Yeah, I mean, Bucky talked about it a little. It's really a difference in terms of climate and culture and first-generation social media adapters. Like, there's no one to lean on in terms of learning about social media because your parents didn't use it. So now you're learning all this on the fly. And I do remember the transition from non-social media to social media. And I do reflect on when I grew up, we all bought into the equation that if you're good in sports, oh, life's going to be great. You're the man on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, your letterman jacket's going to be full of all the patches, and the cheerleaders going to cheer the loudest for you. And you never heard the contrast. And I played in the NFL where all we had was a Sunday paper and a Sunday highlight show. And everything else, I lived the glorious life. And then you enter social media. And now your neighbors don't just come over to say, hey, my cousin's in town, will you sign an autograph? Here's some apple pie. They coming over through your phone, through your computer, and telling you, you suck. Mm-hmm. And that is new for the athlete who we all bought into a world that we never heard the contrast. I'm sorry. I understand when guys finally turn around and about face at times to let them know and try to reset, even though it's not the smart play.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he has to understand, keep the main thing the main thing. Like, we're right now on the eve of going to training camp. He needs to focus on training camp. The video that came out earlier in the day where we had a chance to see him working out, I was more encouraged by that because the Le'Veon Bell that showed up in that video looked like he was in shape. Mm-hmm. He was running well. He looks like he is ready to go. However, when you talk about the mentality, the fact that he had to have this rant on Instagram talking about all the other stuff, man, we're too close to training camp to be worrying about the other stuff and the outside noise.
I just think if things don't go well, having set out a year, having had a dispute with his offensive line in Pittsburgh, if things don't go well in the first month, this dude's going to snap.
I got one example already. Being a former running back in college, you got that patient style. It's beautiful because we already anticipate in Pittsburgh, you're going to get your yards. You're going to get your catches out the backfield. We get it, even if you're off to a slow start. You come to a new situation, and there are all those expectations on you, and you get up to that line and stop, and back, tackle for loss. Do it again, back, tackle for loss. Get to the sideline. Guess what the running back coach is telling you? Hit the hole. And once you get out of your game to try to play their game, to play a better game, it's all over, brother. And that can occur.
I lost you at running back. I thought fullback. And I'm talking about real, real fullback. Like, real full.
He's fooling.
he ain't hungry.
Whitlock and Wiley joined now by NBA champion and NBA agent B.J. Armstrong and Yahoo Sports NBA insider Chris Haynes, who broke the Kawhi Leonard story to the Clippers. All right, let's move to Kawhi Leonard, whose decision to join the Clippers continues to reverberate across the NBA. Earlier this week, it was reported that the Lakers and Raptors felt like they got played by Kawhi, and now Stephen A. Smith is reporting allegations that Kawhi's uncle Dennis made numerous illegal requests from the team pursuing Kawhi, including demanding houses, planes, and guaranteed sponsorship money. I'm in the sore loser camp here on this
field.
Do the Lakers and Raptors look like sore losers here? And yes, I'm sure Uncle Dennis asked for a lot of things, you know, but that doesn't mean the Clippers gave it to him. Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, that group knows the rules and I'm sure played by them. Steve Ballmer's not going to allow that kind of shenanigans to go on. So Yeah, I think the Lakers are sounding like sore losers pushing this story out there.
Oh, definitely they are. I'm going to go to the well. One of my favorite sayings, the have-nots always have to have a story why they don't have. And you know what? Think about all the times you took an L. You wanted something, but you just couldn't get it. You just couldn't take it like that. You had to give the story, the validation. Why she didn't give you her number, you know? Mm-hmm. Why you didn't get the penthouse suite when you know it was only a floor up? Oh, it costs too much. No, it don't. And somebody right behind you said, I'll take the penthouse. You know what I'm saying? You want an upgrade to first class. You're sitting there like, how much? Oh, man, the plane gonna land at the same time. Yeah, it is. Different leg room, no, different comfort. My point is this. I don't believe anything coming out of the Lakers or Raptors camp right now because, one, they are liars. And how do I know they're liars? Because Kawhi and Uncle Dennis said, don't tell anybody anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Clippers were losing the narrative the entire week of free agency that they were in third place, because they wouldn't say anything to reset it.
Yep.
But you kept hearing about flight paths from Toronto and where's the plane going here? Where's the plane now? Where's he staying? Yeah. What's being discussed? Lakers and Magic Johnson. Oh, you know, Uncle Dennis gave me a call. We talked about free agency even a couple years ago. And the Clippers sat quiet. So when someone already lies to a Kawhi Leonard and leaks, why are you going to believe him now? Because everything else that follows that must be in the same camp of lying. So I'm sorry to say it. They're just making up story now to put him into a camp that maybe LaVar Ball exists, Uncle Dennis. Let's try to portray him in a different light to now forecast issues for the Clippers. But don't believe none of this smoke.
Well, I got one word for all of this. Whatever. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was very quiet. Chris and I, you know, have been in the business for a long time, and there was no reports coming out of any of the camp, of Kawhi Leonard's camp, meaning the Lakers, Toronto, the Clippers. And when you tried to reach out to find anything, nothing came out. And with the exception of our good friend right here who reported first about Kawhi Leonard, it was crickets. No one heard anything. So I'm like, whatever, let's move on. Kawhi Leonard made a decision. He made a decision in a way that went about it with the teams. He laid the foundation. But more importantly, he allowed them, he told them, and it was executed beautifully, in my humble opinion, that nothing was going to come out. If anything did come out, you know, you had no chance at all. And I think that's what you saw.
I'm sure these two teams, the Raptors or the Lakers, just putting this information out just to show that, hey, there's some wrongdoing going on, and we need to, you know, investigate and get this uncovered. But if the shoe was on the other foot, if he signed with the Lakers, would this be coming out on their behalf? It would not. And, you know, look, Uncle Dennis, whatever, I don't know what was asked. I don't know the details or anything of that nature. But I will say this. I know for a fact he probably wasn't the only one to ask for certain things like that. I'm pretty sure other agents or other prominent family members who have the power to be in those meetings requested similar things. Like I said, I don't know if that happened or not, but it's just when Kawhi, this was a high-profile case. Yeah. Where the Lakers are a high-profile team. They feel like, Lakers felt like, you know, this is the Lakers. They still have that stigma about themselves, like, we're not getting beat by the Clippers. A high-profile top three player by the Clippers? That's not happening to us. And so they got deflated. Their egos got deflated a little bit, and I think this is what happens. It's the end result.
I take a lot of heat for this, but I always keep it real about LeBron James and his camp. Because it's amazing, because I believe this is coming from the Lakers. But if you go look at the history of LeBron and Maverick Carter and Rich Paul, when they were in Cleveland, they asked for unprecedented access from Dan Gilbert, who gets to fly on the plane, all kinds of things. They basically fell out with Pat Riley about all the things that they wanted that other players couldn't get from the Miami Heat. And again, you may say their request fell within the collective bargaining agreement and wasn't legal. I wonder if Dan Gilbert and Pat Riley wouldn't tell a different story if they were leaking things out the way things are being leaked out now about Uncle Dennis. This again, I don't think whatever Uncle Dennis asked for, I don't think it's unprecedented. I think what's unprecedented is that it's being leaked and talked about because he didn't land in the right spot.
Yeah.
Because, again, trust me on this. If they knew Uncle Dennis was asking for crazy things, They knew it before Kawhi Leonard announced where he was going. Mm. Tell it then. Mm. Tell it in the Uncle Dennis has made an illegal request. Tell it, leak that out now. They waited until after Kawhi signs with the Clippers. Now they tell it.
Now that's too much. We ain't paying that tax. We can't get that item. Now you don't. Of course you ain't paying the tax. You didn't get the item.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, Phil Jackson would talk about LeBron and his posse right now, wouldn't he? And that's unfair. And that's an unfair characteristic that you want to really talk about this group like that. But they know the game. They know the game from AAU. They know the game from the collegiate level. We all know how it goes. It's not just the bottom line anymore. It's how you're going to give me a circumstance, how you're going to give me resources to supply me with more than just what you're paying
me. And Marcel, and it's a form of dry snitching. Because now they're looking at it, they're saying, well, we ain't saying the Clippers gave in to those expectations, but he did sign with the Clippers.
right.
You know what I'm saying? So now, you know, you want to put an investigation out there, go ahead. We see what team fell into those favors ass.
This is what I really, truly believe. I came into this hearing about Uncle Dennis and was like, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Another LeVar.
Mm.
I come on the other side of this and go, oh, man, this dude is kind of about business.
Oh, yeah.
He kept it all under wraps. I don't know what this guy looks like. He's like the Al Heyman of the NBA. Right. Yep. I don't know what he looks like, but it was successful. They got Paul George. They got a championship team. His nephew is happy right where he's at. Uncle Dennis, to me, until these rumors came out, and again, the rumors don't bother me, he comes out of this unblemished, and I got nothing but respect for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers, Raptors, to a smaller degree, are all trying to deflect from a larger issue. And we know that larger issue is that, hey, man, these B teams are out there, you know, the Nets in Brooklyn or the Clippers out there. It's about what are you doing right now? What have you done for me lately? Not just throw the brand out there and just say anything. Uncle Dennis, let's get his story straight in terms of when he finally rose to a level of like, you got to call me Uncle Dennis. He's the one that told Kawhi, stop letting San Antonio play you like that. That first misdiagnosis with the hand injury, you came back. But if it happens again, we going to stand up. And it happened again with the quad situation. Uncle Dennis is the one that told him, hey, bow that back, man. You Kawhi Leonard, and gave him some encouragement. So now let's not get brand new on Uncle Dennis and then try and undermine what he's done for
but
this
also
guy.
Who has history and precedent dealing with similar situations. This man right here with Derrick Rose, what Derrick Rose went through. Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, you know, we went through this, and, you know, I think last time I was here, we talked about the Derrick Rose situation and the pushback that we received, not only from the organization, but from just the media in general. But the big thing when you see this, especially when you're talking about today's players, is the following. It's the power, who has the power and the respect right now to really make these decisions. And right now, the players are talking, they're speaking loudly, and what they're saying is, we don't care how much money is out there. We're going to go play where we want to play. Mm. And we don't have to agree with it, but I think all of us who are working with these young people today understand that these young people are turning down hundreds of millions of dollars to go play where they want to play, regardless of the situation. And so,
I know you agents ain't gonna approve of that. I know that for sure. I've heard a few.
Absolutely.
The most fun you can have watching sports. Whitlock and Wiley, Bucky Brooks and Chris Haynes are back. Time to get antisocial. But our man Darnell still on a high from Vegas.
Yes, sir. I'm back now. I feel good. Got some good rest last
good.
Night.
What's popping?
Yeah. Sir, we're going to start with the GOAT, Tom Brady.
All right.
Who's been receiving a lot of backlash after the video of him jumping off a small cliff in Costa Rica with his 6-year-old daughter went viral.
Ooh.
She was initially ready to do it, but then hesitated right before jumping in. So Brady pulled her in with him, resulting in the awkward landing. Fans on Twitter didn't approve, sending all types of negative tweets going in on Brady. Mm. But guys, does he deserve backlash for this?
I think if she were going to jump off the cliff, the only way to do it was for him to drag her.
Right.
What if her legs aren't strong enough to jump far enough to clear the rocks?
Mm.
He's a professional athlete.
Mm.
His legs are strong enough. So this probably was discussed. Why else is she holding his hands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In this exact situation a few weeks ago in Mallorca in Spain, the boat was telling us, jump off this cliff.
And then we got there, and one of the natives said, I wouldn't do that necessarily because, you know, the terrain, people have gotten injured before. Mm-hmm. You know what I chose? The cautionary side. You know, I took a little caution. Why post this if you're Tom Brady?
Ooh.
And that's the problem. I know I would post it, and y'all just got to talk bad about me, but some people care a little more about their reputation, and this just has enough where you're going to give people ammunition.
Man, everyone who's a parent understands that sometimes your kids have changed their mind at the last minute, but we're already committed to the act. Yeah. So when Tom Brady's like, no, we're going. We're out. So he had to pull her because if he doesn't pull her, you look at the terrain and the rocks right there, she's liable to hurt herself more if he doesn't pull her out. So I think he had to do it. He posted it so it opened himself up to criticism. But I think this is much to do about nothing.
Yeah,
he saved his daughter's life in that situation, so he should be applauded for doing the right thing in that regard. But going back to your point, Marcellus, this wasn't an Instagram live. This was something they posted. They saw it and actually decided to post it, which means there was some thought behind, okay, this is suitable for the public. Mm. It probably wasn't suitable if he knew that people were going to criticize him for this. But aside from that, I think it's much ado.
We all make mistakes. Move on, people.
Next!
Moving
on to the NBA, where it looks like Tim Duncan and Coach Popovich will be reuniting. Yesterday, it was announced that Duncan will be making his return back to the Spurs, but this time as an assistant coach. We know the success that Duncan and Coach Pop had together in San Antonio, so it's definitely a big move for the organization. When Popovich was asked about Tim coming back, he responded by saying, it's only fitting. After I served loyally for 19 years as Tim Duncan's assistant, they returns the favor.
Oh,
will Tim take over as head coach when Popovich retires?
I think that's the only reason. Well, you know, he's made enough money that maybe he doesn't want the responsibility of being the head coach. Maybe he just wants the camaraderie, working every day in basketball. I'm not sure if Duncan wants to be an NBA head coach, but maybe he does.
I mean, I don't think nobody wants to ultimately be an assistant only. Like, no one's like, yeah, this is it.
You got $200 million in your pocket.
Huh?
What if you got $200 million in your pocket?
Why my assistant then?
So he's broke? No. Is he broke then?
Is he out of the house?
They got him a couple times. His financial advisors did get him, but I think it's just in him. Like, he wants to be around. You know, you step away from the game like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go chill. Eat, check my bank statements, voting. Uh-huh. And then he looked around and said, damn, this boring. Yeah, I got to get back to the game.
Get out of the house.
I think you missed the locker room. You missed the fellas. But in terms of him being a head coach, unfortunately, in the NBA, they don't hire big men as head coaches. You don't see big guys as the head coach. It's a guard-driven profession. So no matter how talented he is and the experience that he has, I just don't see centers and power forwards ascend to being head coaches in the
NBA. Well, Phil Jackson, but that's a different era, but yeah.
I'll say this. If he wants to be the head coach, on that, he'll be the head coach of San Antonio Spurs. I just have a hard time believing Tim Duncan wants to be doing all the rigors of what a head coach is supposed to. And then Tim Duncan dealing with, we're going to get to these millennials, you know, interacting with these guys. I want to see how Tim Duncan is going to get in the face and try to stir up some stuff with these youngsters out there.
Put your phone down.
I want to see it.
I'm going to tell you the play they're going to make to me. Becky Hammon is going to be the head coach and Tim Duncan's going to be the assistant.
Nice.
That's how they're going to legitimize her. All right, let's move to Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
All right, guys, before I get to my question, I want to show y'all something that Northwestern football coach Pat Fitzgerald had to say. Take a listen.
These things. I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. I think, you know, watching young people today live like this instead of like that. You know, Stacey and I were out on a date last night, and there was two groups of couples sitting next to us, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm old. Like, not one of the four couples were talking to each other. They were all on their phones. And it just drove me up to, I literally wanted to be like a dad and go like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean, this is pathetic. So it was really, really pathetic. And I think that's just, it's just changed the way a lot of younger people and younger fans intake is all through technology. And I mean, you watch a concert and everybody's holding their phone up. Like, listen, watch. Take it in, create a memory, because they don't go back and watch the videos. They just want to post it on their social media, which is pathetic because it creates a society of, look at me, isn't my life great? Even though when they go home, they're like, I hate myself, I hate my life, everything's wrong.
Is this a valid critique of millennials?
I didn't catch it.
Valid critique of everybody.
Thank you. Not just millennials, thank you.
I don't think it's just millennials.
Thank you, Wick.
they may have the worst crack problem, but everybody's smoking a little crack. And it's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Man, all right, it's unfair that we say millennials, because remember we were growing up, remember that song? Got the whole world in his hands. Remember that? Uh-huh. Guess what millennials really got? The whole world in their hands. Yeah, they can touch the whole world. Like, that song got real. And now with this power, you expect me to just be like, nah, I'm good, put it down. Look, stop worrying about what the hell, how they consume stuff. My parents used to say, boy, you better turn that TV off. When I grew up, we didn't have a TV. Well, mama, yo bad, you know what I mean? And then they go have something next. They go have VR and stuff. Like we go say, put the VR down, that's no good. Roll with it or roll your way and stop being mad that they roll in a different way. Last I gotta say, if you really disturbed by this, play this game, it's called Stack 'em. When you're out with all of us, all four of us going out to eat, you too, Darnell, but you ain't paying, you ain't got it. Nice. So we all sitting there, and it's a game called Stack 'em. Uh-huh. This is how you play it. Everybody stack 'em. Everybody puts their phones in the middle. The first person who grabs their phone for whatever reason, the bill is on them.
Woo.
You'll see now all of a sudden cats is all paying attention because they like, I ain't picking that phone up because it's going to get heavy.
I'll be paying a bunch of bills.
I don't know if I can leave my phone untapped like that. I don't know if I can just leave it unattended. I need to make sure some stuff popping through.
But Bucky, you coaching high school kids.
Now, look, it's the way of the world now. Like, that's how they are always having their nose in their phone. My son is 15, soon to be 16, and he walks around the house always looking at it. My daughter's 12, she's doing the same thing. I think the big thing is, as parents, as older people, we have to adjust. They're not going back to the way that we did it and our parents did it. Yeah. We have to make sure that we meet them halfway. We have to tell them, hey, you need to talk. Quit texting everybody, pick up the phone and talk. But it's one of those things where we have to tell them how to become good communicators.
My year, I was born in 81. It's the first year of the millennial. And so, with that being said, I'm on my phone constantly, whatever. I have things to do. But I'm gonna tell you right now, well, like you would know this. When you're writing game stories, especially when you have game stories due at the buzzer,
ooh,
and when you're there writing those game stories in the game, at the game, there's certain things you miss. Now, if I'm at TV with the high definition TV that we have today, with the instant replays, all the angles that you see, my game stories are a lot more better when I'm watching on TV. Now, if I wasn't covering the NBA, I would preferably like to see watch the game at home. That's just my preferable treatment, and that's what I would like to see more so of. So I get it, and I get why people in the millennial days right now do not go to games like they used to. But I can get a much better product at home.
I'm gonna end on this note. I think we can put pressure on the tech companies that are building these phones to give parents more control over their kids' phones. There should be some app where a parent can turn that phone off for 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, that exists. That exists. And it goes into your sync of your Wi-Fi. I'll hip you to it. Oh, yeah. It's 8 p.m., all things gone. And you looking like, Mama, Daddy, what's up? It's on alarm. Yeah, there are companies out there that do
that. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports, Whitlock and Wiley, joined now by the star of Netflix, Last Chance U, Coach Jason Brown. Jason, thank you for making the time.
Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, I've watched the first three seasons of Last Chance U religiously, called, you know, your season three, which you became the star. And season four just came out, and I'm just wondering, did Last Chance U, do you feel like they portrayed you fairly?
You know, Greg Whiteley, the producer, One Potato Productions, I think he does a great job, man. I think he films... The first show came out, I didn't really watch it. The first show came out last year. I called him, I said, man, I look horrible. I said, I thought you said I was gonna look good. He said, JB, 30 years doing this, you're the most unfiltered guy I ever filmed. And you wanted to see the stuff I left out? And I said, nah, I'm good. And that was what it was. And I said, I'll go with what you have. So I guess the first four episodes, I still haven't watched it all. I look pretty bad. And then it shows, I guess, a little bit more contrite. And so, kind of is from there. I think they film what they film, and I never feared the camera. I always feared the microphone, and that's the reason I was hesitant to accept it from the gate. But it is what it is. I think he did me about as right as you could do me, I think, because of just the other things. There's a lot of things you don't see off the camera as well. So they filmed me 3,500 hours, and they put 8 hours together. So
embarrassed by anything you did on the show?
Not really embarrassed, man. It's just. You know, you kind of live. I never live in regrets. You know what I mean? I don't ever want to regret anything I did. It is what it is. I know what kind of guy I am. I think the kids know who I am. Coaches know who I am. But embarrassed? Nah, not really.
We're both from Compton. I've seen a lot of coaches in my life. We've intersected. We've crossed paths before. Where'd you get the confidence that your coaching style, that profane style, would work?
Growing up, product of our environment. You know what I mean? I think tough love. I think, you know, when we got yelled at when we were young, we weren't allowed to talk back in the day. So nowadays, these cats all got answers about every single thing, and they tell you how to do your job, and it's like unbelievable. So, you know, growing up, you know, building that tough skin, I think having that tough skin built growing up in the streets and being a product of my environment, I think it's just kind of who I am, and that's who I was. I was a JUCO product. I'm a JUCO as JUCO gets. And I think that's what made me who I am to this day.
So do you think coaching kids at the junior college level is the same as the way you should treat kids in the streets of Compton?
I don't know if it goes hand in hand. It's a little different. In the streets of Compton, you might get your cat pilt back. You talk like that to somebody you don't know. The kids I know, I recruited. I was in their home. I talked to their parents. I talked to their kid. I know the kid intimately. In the streets, people know you. Real recognizes real, as we all say. People know you for who you are, what your upbringing is. But to answer your question, I don't think you can compare the two, honestly. But I think that there is a comparison to be made. I just don't know if that one is it. If you said, can you do that in high school or Pop Warner, I would probably say no.
You said you felt like you were captured accurately or fairly on the deal. The thing that I saw that I don't think a lot of people in the media picked up on was, to me, they showed you drinking often. Mm-hmm. And it made me as a seasoned viewer go, is drinking a problem for Jason Brown? Mm-hmm. And is that what's driving his profane behavior?
Nah, I'm a social drinker here and there. They just filmed me doing it, you know. That show is built like they can add pieces in there. Like last year, Malik Henry, they show him and me arguing. Well, that was actually filmed like 4 days before, but it looks like it was right there in the middle of the game. So like they move things around, obviously. So it's not like I sit there and drink in the office or anything, except unless it's social hour or we're off hours, off duty. But no, it's not. I'm not alcoholic or nothing. So
drinking. You drink every day?
No, not at all.
I mean, because that is kind of the way it came across on the
show?
On Netflix.
I haven't really watched it, but nah, I don't drink every day at all. Nah.
I don't drink every day. I drink every hour of the day.
No doubt.
Get it correct.
No doubt.
Look, tough journalist question right here.
All
right. Is it possible you were the wrong coach for this team? We remember the timeline. First year, established culture. Second year, win league, play for league. Third year, let's get this championship. Y'all were 2-8 after being ranked fifth nationally.
Mm-hmm.
You the wrong coach?
Nah, you know, I could have been the wrong coach for the town. I don't know if I was the wrong coach for the kids. You know, that place hadn't won in 30-something years. They had never won a bowl game in school history. Before I got the job, they had one kid get a scholarship, Division I scholarship, in like the last 4 years before I got there. We had 101 Division I kids sign in 3 years, national record.
Love it.
Come on, Jason, that's hard for me to believe.
Love it.
A junior college. 101.
That's Division I. Not everyone. We've had more than that.
That's hard. Mm. That's hard. A junior college produces 5 or 10 D1s a year. How did y'all get to 101? That's
now we were putting 40 out a year. It's very, very researchable.
Wow.
I don't need a lot.
I'm gonna follow up on Marcellus's question about the 2-8 record, because in this latest season, they show you on camera saying, the problem this year is I recruited the wrong kids. Mm. There were too many kids of questionable character.
Yeah.
I could come back and say, no, you were the wrong coach for those kids. Those kids were talented and needed someone to lead them or push them a better direction. Mm. And it's hard to do that when you're as profane and as out of control as the kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, like they say, you know, there's too many. It can't be too many Indians and not enough chiefs, and there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Well, we had a lot of people that wanted to go Hollywood on me. I'm just gonna be honest. That went from players to coaches. Now, you got to have some coaches. I never say I or my program. It's always our program. And it's about, it ain't about me, it's about us. And that's a motto I put everywhere I've ever coached. It's in the book.
You didn't go Hollywood.
I never go Hollywood. I was like, this is, you're going to get what you get with me. You either film me or you don't film me. I really don't care. But I'm never going to change who I am. And everyone that knows me knows that. But truth of the matter is, we had a lot. I fired 7 coaches during the season and cut 36 kids. So the year before, this is as simple as I put it. The year before, we won 6 days out the week. That means every single day before the ball game on Saturday, we won. We won in the community. We won in the weight room. We won in the classroom. We won in study hall. We won everywhere. This past season, we had 200 kids show up after the show aired July 20th last year. We started camp the 21st. So we had 200 kids show up that we didn't recruit, that wanted to be on camera, that I had to say, hell no. Get the heck out of here. Well, if they enroll in classes, I can't kick them off campus. So they became a huge distraction with our team in the dorms, and it became a huge cancerous environment, and it only takes one bad apple to ruin the whole batch. And our kids, I think, were soft-minded a little bit. We had no leadership besides maybe a kid named Coy Dane who went to Cal. But, you know, I don't think we had the right nucleus as far as cameras are hard on young folks. I'm just going to be honest. They're hard on young folks, and it's not just that. Remember, I have about 8 to 9 volunteer coaches every year. Those guys are 25 and under. It's hard on those guys. Those guys' eyes are wide open. They're trying to get fame, too. I was hated on and lied on by young coaches that I fired because they want my fame, apparently. And I'm nobody. I'm a regular Joe. I'm just a coach. I didn't want to be no actor. So they saw that and ran with it, and we had a horrible nucleus because of it.
In a do-or-die situation, like junior college, you're that close to making it, that close to not making it.
Back in the street.
It could lead you astray, especially when you start feeling a little more famous in your environment than you actually are in the real world. I get some of that. You said that you're a product of your environment from Compton, but beyond that, what are your coaching role models? Where did you get influence from?
You know, Coach Ward. A lot of people in L.A. know Coach Ward and Rick Ross.
Say his first name.
Cornell Ward.
Where did he coach at?
He's Compton College. Gotcha. Went to Cal State Northridge. Played with Hugh Jackson in high school.
Mm-hmm. Dorsey.
And so, you know, he was a great mentor.
Did he coach in this kind of style?
Yeah, he coached.
The same as you?
Oh, yeah. He was born again at the time, by the time he hit me. But he still get after you and cuss your butt out. But it was a little more in your ear, a little quieter than I am. But, you know, what they don't show, and I see what you're saying, what they don't show, though, is off the camera what I do for my guys. And if you guys can find a kid bashing me on social media or their parent, let me know. Because I ain't never done it. I've sent 221 guys Division I, 22 in the NFL. Show me a guy that's bashed me online. That real recognize the real. They know the real.
Jason, you said you don't regret anything, nothing embarrassing. The Hitler deal with the player where you say, I'm going to be your Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. No regrets there?
Nah. You know, they asked me that on the show. And I regret the form of the way that the message was sent, which was via text. Nowadays, you do that. You know, back in the day when we played, a football locker room was the most intimate setting there is in football. Or in any sport, in my opinion.
They're raw.
Now it's a mockery. I think kids go in there, they film you on camera. I had to take people's phones, kids' phones out, because they'll film you on the low. They'll film you. They want to get you on social media and blast you for cussing them out in a team meeting when someone stole at Walmart and you're trying to make an example of somebody so the team won't continue to do it and make the whole team look bad. So those things happen. He wanted some fame. Just so you know, he walked around saying he was Hitler every day and would do all the things Hitler did as far as the way he walked, the way he talked, everything. And he did those things, and I snapped at a point where it was a boiling point where I told a kid, come see me, I'm your new Hitler now, because of how he was acting in the classroom setting after I just set him down and reprimanded him. So if you see the show, I saw how they kind of depicted it, and I saw how they did it, and you can see everybody's calling him that, and he's laughing and running around because he knew that's how he was. And so the truth will come out, and, you know, is what it is.
Quickly, do you deserve another job?
I think everybody does. I think, you know, America forgives and forgets, I think, better than any other place or any other country.
Will you do some things differently?
I probably will.
Will you tone it down?
Probably not.
Makes you unhireable, man.
I don't know about that. If you film Nick Saban every day, you'll wonder. You'll say something
different. Got a lot of titles.
No doubt. But he's not filmed every day. You think he whispers sweet nothings to his guys?
Absolutely not. Look, man, I'm as big a hole as anybody in America. Time and a place for everything.
You're right.
Sometimes you gotta lead kids through positive energy.
You're right.
Particularly kids that come from tough, they deal with a lot of negativity at home from their backgrounds. Hit them with some love. That may be what they miss.
How you know I don't?
Well, you said it.
You saw 8 hours of my life.
You said they portrayed you accurately.
No doubt, but they on film on 8 hours.
I get it, but you said that's an accurate portrayal of
but
you.
If, you're right.
Not enough love.
If that was me, though, my whole life, you would see me getting bashed on social media by my players from 20 years of coaching.
So you're saying what was lost is the balance. That's accurate, but there's another side.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's on the cutting floor.
So let me ask you this. Did you see the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you see him try to throw me in the lake?
Mm.
Did you see him that part?
Yeah.
They tried to throw me in the lake?
Yeah. Second episode.
Grown man strength.
Yeah.
So they tried to throw me in the lake. Does that happen to anyone else if the coach and the players didn't have some sort of bond?
Relationship.
Because most coaches won't even allow that to happen. So obviously there was a bond there. People could see it. The real recognizes real. People saw that there's something more to it. They tried to throw me in. It was a fun thing. And we did that a lot. I barbecued for those guys all the time. I took care of them. Mm. Every which way you could think of. But, you know.
Thank you, Jason.
My man.
Appreciate you coming by.
No doubt. Yeah. Appreciate you guys having me.
Look forward to some of that barbecue.
All right, Jason's got a book. Jason Brown, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later. Told him how to promote that. Whitlock and Wiley, Bucky Brooks is back with us. Let's return to the NFL, where a new survey of NFL executives ranked Aaron Rodgers as the league's top quarterback. Rodgers is coming off a down year where the Packers missed the playoffs, but still managed to come out ahead of Super Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady, All-Pro Drew Brees, and league MVP and the best quarterback in football history, Patrick Mahomes, who ranked second, third, and Mahomes ranked fourth, respectfully. Question here is Aaron Rodgers getting too much respect?
I don't think so. I would say he was the incumbent before what we saw with Patrick Mahomes last year in terms of talent and execution. Basically, you got to look at it through this lens. They're playing a game of if this quarterback was on this team and that team and try to move him around, which one would do the best?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes sounds great to me, except one thing. What's his response year look like? We haven't seen it yet. An entire offseason, D coordinator sitting back there falling asleep with the remote in their hand said, we're going to get him next year. How does he respond to that? I'm with you, Whitlock. You know I love him as much as you, if not more. However, we have to see that before you make him higher than someone who has responded countless times. I think that's why he's lower, and you got to keep Aaron Rodgers up there, especially because he's going to ball out this year, Aaron Rodgers is.
Well, by definition, it said tier one quarterback is a guy that can carry his team each week. The one thing that we've seen with Aaron Rodgers, we've talked about the Packers not having a loaded roster. He's been able to carry them and elevate them. Remember, a couple years ago, he had them in the NFC Championship game when they had no business being a team that was on the verge of the Super Bowl. Because of that memory, I think they have that. With Matt LaFleur? I mean, I don't know. But I'm saying right now.
Andy Reid versus Matt LaFleur.
I mean, Andy Reid all day. But also, the supporting cast in Kansas City is better than what Aaron
Rodgers has. I understand that. That's our next point. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce.
So, but by definition, it's carry. So, Pat Mahomes doesn't have to carry. Because remember, Alex Smith was a Pro Bowler in Kansas City. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowler.
I love Alex Smith. He's a friend of mine. I love Alex Smith. But we talking about Patrick Mahomes.
I know, but I'm saying.
His arm's not getting weaker.
No, I mean, he can throw it out of the stadium. I get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that same supporting cast made Alex Smith a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, that's a tough knock right there. I'm a hold on to the response year. We have to see, does he regress to a mean? Does he continue on this excellence? Also, you got to look at what Aaron Rodgers is going through. Like Matt LaFleur, you talk about what you want, but
Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff, like wherever he's went, he's had success with the quarterback enhancing what their resume looks
like. He's a poor man's Andy Reid, a very poor man.
Oh, I give you all that, but that's good. But look, you know what? Aaron Rodgers is no poor man Patrick Mahomes. He's Patrick Mahomes or Patrick Mahomes plus.
He's 35 years old.
Consistency at a position where we're just talking about a guy who's 42 still winning Super Bowls. So let's be careful of how we want to frame
it. Too much respect. And I love Aaron Rodgers. But we've seen the new baby Jesus. We just saw him
in 1 year.
In 1 year, we're ready to.
Javon Kearse at my position. Well, look, and this is not this is Javon Kearse because he's the most talented DN I ever played against and played with.
One trick pony.
No. I'm just going to tell you what happens.
Patrick Mahomes.
I'm just going to tell you, Sean Merriman. Like, people could come out the gate and then. Yeah. I'm just saying, and I'm
Show
not
me
wishing
the Andy Reid quarterback that falls off a cliff. Doesn't happen. Uncle Jimmy's here.
Most definitely.
Uncle Bishop Don Juan. You got any thoughts on the show, Uncle Jimmy?
Yeah, let's get to the big dummy. The big dummy of the day goes to somebody that just sat up here and asked their guest, you think you might got a drinking problem? After that knockout that Don Juan or whoever that was,
Don Julio
put on you this weekend?
Yes, he did. That little bottle.
And you want to sit up here and say,
itty bitty bottle.
You think you might have a drinking problem? Hey, it ain't over. I can breathe.
Yeah, you know
I
why?
I can breathe.
You know why that happened? Because I don't drink.
And guess what?
Good point.
I should have told you something. You sure as hell can't.
Two drinks and both hands.
All right.
Double fist.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Kawhi Leonard's Uncle Dennis.
I don't believe anything coming out of the Lakers or Raptors camp right now because, one, they are liars. And how do I know they're liars? Because Kawhi and Uncle Dennis said, don't tell anybody anything.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are sounding like sore losers pushing this story out there. Mm-hmm. All right, Uncle Jimmy, we had the staff come up with a list of the top uncles in American history. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Uncle Sam, number one. Uncle Buck, number two. Uncle Phil, a little low. I think he should be ahead of Uncle Buck, but we let the white folks on our staff do this.
You stupid.
Uncle Phil, number three. Uncle Drew, number four. And Uncle Jimmy, you come in at number five. And Uncle Dennis, I think, may be right on your heels. But anyway, your thoughts on Uncle Dennis?
Number five.
Yeah.
Number five. Who the hell came up with this list?
I told you, the white folks on our staff.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. Evidently, the white folks on the staff didn't see that demo that Uncle Jimmy just laid down the Dre's this weekend. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Hey, now look, if you didn't know no better, you might have looked at that and thought you was looking at an old EPMD video, wouldn't you? Talking about, listen to my demo.
Please listen to my demo.
Please. I didn't have to say please.
He didn't even have to beg.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, man.
Hey, look, man, I'm just saying, if you looked at what I'm talking about, if you're looking at my demo, then you know. You see, my reputation precedes me.
Blue M&Ms, huh?
You know, let me tell you, and this weekend changed my life. And I'm going to tell y'all about it. See, I just got contacted from the people at Madden. They're coming out with a new exclusive edition. It's the Madden edition for players only. And you know, Uncle Jimmy rating just went up by 20 points just based off of Dre's. my pimpology rating just went through the roof. Unheard of. Hey, let me ask y'all a question.
Yeah.
T.I. texted me at the end of his show wanting to hang out. No. Did he text you?
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
And so I'm just telling you, y'all can sit up here and talk bad about Uncle Dennis all you want to. Uncle Jimmy ain't gonna do it. It ain't gonna be no more of this unk-on-unk crime going on speak for yourself. Uncle Dennis is a businessman.
Business.
Shrewd negotiator. Mm. You know, you go out on the street anywhere, you ask about Uncle Dennis, they say, Uncle Dennis, good people. You know?
They do that.
Me, Uncle Dennis, and Snoop, we all go by the same code. Game is sold and not told. Mm. You know? As a matter of fact, I need to put y'all all on notice right now. Uncle Jimmy getting ready to hire Uncle Dennis to do his contract negotiations for Fox.
Oh,
we was on the phone just before I went on set. He just sent me over. Uh-oh.
A proposal? Well,
first and foremost.
What is that?
A proposal? First and foremost, we're going to talk about this closet of a dressing room y'all got me in. Okay?
That why you dress like
me
that?
Me and y'all got me sharing the dressing room with Rob Parker, Jason McIntyre, Eric Griffin, the makeup lady, and that old man to be letting us in the front of the security desk always eating a sandwich. He going to have to stay out of my dressing room. Number two.
Okay.
Effective immediately, the blue M&Ms will be hired on the kitchen staff at Fox. Uncle Jimmy is going to need his oyster dressing on a regular basis because it's becoming an acquired taste.
Ain't going to be no food left.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Well, we
now, let me tell y'all this. I need y'all to listen good. I'm going to add a load management clause to my contract.
Oh, goodness.
Load management.
Clause. We about to load up on these Uncle Jimmy segments on Speak For Yourself. Now, I don't care if it's in the A block or the Z block. Uncle Jimmy going to determine which one of them he going to be in. Oh, and he going to play what he want to play when he's in it. Okay? This is my call of duty. All right? From this moment on, and I need y'all to herd me on this. Uncle Jimmy, all this mess y'all pulled on me to Vegas,
what?
No more. I'm flying first class all the way. Nothing but first class on Spirit everywhere I go. I get the big seat. All the peanuts and coke I can handle.
No more driving with Darnell.
Hey, I'm just letting you know. And finally, I'm going to tell y'all, Fox is going to provide Uncle Jimmy with his own legal team to handle all of my future and past alimony, palimony, child support, paternity allegations, and future divorce proceedings, and our future request to be on the Maury Povich Show in this life as well as the next. And these demands are non-negotiable. Talk to my Uncle Dennis.
Let me rate Uncle Dennis right now.
Holler at your boy.
72, all-star level, 25 job performance, 19 all-time greatest, 18.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
10 authenticity. I think it's his job to create confusion.
Oh, man, I'm with you, but he's a GOAT, man. We're talking about Uncle Dennis on this show in glowing terms. He's a GOAT. He got Kawhi and PG. You can't talk bad about him. Perfect, except all these little fake rumors.
Uncle Dennis, good people.
We'll see you tomorrow.
GOAT.
Be good people.